Well, this morning, folks, we're going to be looking at God's Word from Matthew chapter 16, if you want to turn there, Matthew 16. And as we look at that, I would ask you to look at verses 13 through 18. Matthew 16, 13 through 18, and God's Word says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it.'" This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. Now, this morning as we gather for worship, the title that I have for the message this morning is "Why I Love the Church." And I'll tell you that I come across this, or just this thing came to me some couple of months ago. And in that time, I was getting ready to do the I Am series, and I wanted you guys to plan that for a year. And I said to myself, well, you know, the way things are looking, the I Am series will go through and take September. We'll end it with communion on the first Sunday of October. And then I'll do this sermon on the same week that we're having annual conference and bring it before the church, because it's going to be an easy sermon to write, right? I know why I love the church, right? And so I started putting those things down, but boy, when it comes to putting flesh on it, it was not easy. It was very time-consuming. Somebody called me yesterday after I got home and said, "Is your sermon ready?" And I said, "Well, it's about 5,000 words worth right now, and so I have to pare it down so we can get it done in an hour." And so I did get it pared down, and I'm thankful. You know, sometimes family members have asked me, "Why, Brian, are you preaching? Why are you preaching? And you seem to focus on small churches, local community churches, and you haven't done the thing that's needed to be done so that you move every couple of years so you get a bigger church, so that you can make a bunch of money and have a big church one day." They ask me why I left industry management for the church with limited capacity for earning money, even though it probably doesn't seem that way when you look at our budget. They ask me why I work for a place that has very limited retirement options. They ask sometimes, isn't it hard preparing a sermon each week and trying to bring something different before the people? They ask if it isn't difficult working with volunteers and depending on them to do what they say they're going to do, instead of having somebody that you tell to do something and expect it's going to get done. They ask, isn't it difficult to live in a fishbowl where people come around, they know that's the pastor's house, and sometimes it seems they may be stopping to listen to see if they can hear some argument or something else. You don't have to listen hard. Isn't it difficult having that responsibility, trying to deal with people and their fouled up marriages and their messed up lives and their challenges and their messed up homes and their way with kids and all the problems with drugs and alcohol in our society? They ask me, why do you continue to want to be a pastor? And folks, the answer is that the church is precious to me. I love the church. And there's several reasons that I love the church. Not only as a pastor, but as a Christian. I am not at Poor Creek on a Sunday morning because it's just out of the blue. I'm at Poor Creek on a Sunday morning because God has called me to be here. Not to be any other place. I'm where God has called me to be. Praise his name. And I am with people that he's called me to be with, whom he has gathered together in his own name for his own glory. Can I get an amen? Not for me. And if I'm not at Poor Creek on a Sunday morning, you can be assured that I'm going to be in another gathering, some other place, where the Lord has put it on my heart. And if I am not speaking on a Sunday morning, I will gather in a church just to be there, to worship with the people who gather. Many times as I was going to Kentucky for school, I would start on a Saturday to break up the trip. And then on Sunday morning, I would stop somewhere along the route. Sometimes it was a small church with only a few people there. But that didn't matter. I wasn't there for the people or for the building or anything like that. I saw a sign that said church, and I would stop at about the right time. Sometimes I had to go to two or three places because the time I thought was right wasn't the time they thought was right. But that's okay. The Lord led me someplace every time. And I worshiped. I want to be in the church on the Lord's day. I find that the church is where I need to be on the Lord's day. I want to be a part of it. I want to be in the church. I love the church. And I'll give you a few reasons why. Number one reason is that the church is the only institution that Jesus built, said he would build himself, and that he promises to bless. With all that Jesus could have done, all that he might have done, all that he could have done to express his power in this world, the only thing that he ever said that he was going to build is his church. Not a monument, not anything else, but his church. That is what was important to Jesus. In Matthew 16, Jesus says, I will build my church. Did you hear that this morning? The last verse we read, he said, you are Peter, and on this rock, what did he say? I will build my church. I will build my church, he said. You know, the marvelous thing about that is Jesus is building that church on us. It is us that he's called together to be his church. He is building that church through us, in our lives, with us, as partners. He's called on us to be a part of his greatest building plan ever. Praise his name. One day the truth of that realization that he is building the church hit me like a ton of bricks. Someone asked an old college friend, if I desire to build a big church somewhere and have great success in the ministry, I said, sure, I want the church to grow, but I have no desire to build the church. I don't want to compete against Jesus because I lose. And if I did try to build a church on myself, what end would it be? It would be for nothing because I have nothing to offer it. I am just a person, a human being. And so if I build a church, what's the point? We've already got plenty of institutions of self-gratification and institutions of encouragement and all kinds of things. We've got institutions of great learning, and they serve their purpose, but none of them are like the church. There's no way I want to do it myself. I want to let the Lord build this church. And as I understand that and grasp that, it brings tremendous joy into my life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, I'm not going to be a part of a man-building institution or a man-building operation. And that's why I resist the gimmicks and imitation formulas that come out and I am bombarded with marketing strategies and whatever else kind of stuff that coming down to pastors. Mostly ways for third parties to make some money off the name of the church. I know all about the church is that Jesus said he would build the church with his power. And he has given us his word, his holy word to do that with. And in that word, it tells us exactly what he would have us to do, to come on board with him, to take our part in his building plan. Amen. He tells us and he leads us. And then not only that, but then he uses the power of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives to cause us to be those building blocks, to cause us to be able to be a part of what he's building. Oh, he has got a great plan for the church, and he is doing that himself. Anything less would end up being a man-constructed institution, and it would have no importance. You see, that's the thing about the church. God is doing important things through the church. Important things. He's causing people to be able to live everlasting life. He is giving us an opportunity to know him, to be his, and to live into that being. And folks, he does that through his church. He gathers us together through his church. I've been called to the church. I have to be in the church. And not only sitting in the pews, but in the church. I don't have to be a speaker. I don't have to be a preacher or a teacher, but I have to be in the church. And if something happens so that one day I'm not physically able, I still want to be a part of the church. If it means crocheting something to send out to people who have none, then I'll do that. If it means coming and sweeping the floor, I'll do that. I'll do whatever I need to do to be a part of God's church, because I desperately need the church in my life. I don't ever foresee a future that has me doing anything else. There's no retirement. There's no stepping down or nothing like that. I'll go till I flop. Then I'll try to pick up the pieces and go some more. The greatest thing I've ever done in my whole life is preach the good news of Jesus Christ to his church. Amen. And yes, I realize that that means that I'm putting that above having children and having a family and having loved ones. I know. It's the greatest thing I've ever done. And the only way that they could come close is if these children that God has blessed me with, on their own decision, decide to follow God. Then that brings them close to serving him. Has been the greatest joy of my life. In the church, and having a part in declaring truth that changes people's lives is important. Now, that's the first reason I love the church. I don't know of any greater work than the church, and Jesus has promised to build the church himself. Secondly, I love the church because the church is going to win at the end. Let me tell you, I read through to the end of the book, and the church wins. The church is going to look. Jesus called the church up to a special place now, and he set the banquet just for us, because we are the church, and he calls us what? His bride. We are his bride. Let me tell you, folks, that's an intimate relationship with the Almighty God that is the highest relationship that God designed for us to be able to know. That intimate relationship of marriage, two people who come together as one, and Jesus says, I am going to call you and have you be my bride. Oh, my. What a wonderful thing. You cannot do that outside the church. He doesn't promise that outside the church. I don't care what kind of worship there is or what kind of Bible study there is. If it's outside the church, then it's not a part of his blessing. It's not a part of his calling. He has called the church to be the instrument that he wants to have in this world, making a difference, changing people's lives, inviting them into everlasting life. And it wins in the end. The church is specifically what he says wins in the end. That's good news, folks, to us. I'm going to get to that in a little bit, why that's such good news to us. I like being a part of a winner, though. I haven't always made good enough decisions to be a part of. Look, I'm a Washington Redskins fan. So you know. I haven't had a lot of winning in my life there with them. You know, a lot of people pour their lives into a career and end up with little or nothing. I was talking with someone yesterday. They told me he worked, he was 2 months from retirement, got fired. Pitching dog. That's the way it works sometimes. Other people invest all they have into a business for themselves and they lose it all. Some people decide they're going to invest in the stock market and they put their money in and things seem to be going well, but suddenly, out of nowhere, things change and the next thing you know, you've lost it all. Me? Not long after 2000, I lost everything we had. Stop. There are people who get into their career and they realize that this thing that they've chosen that allured them becomes lifeless and tasteless and tedious. And it's not an adventure to them anymore. And they're stuck where they are. They don't feel they can get away. And what does it matter if they do a good job or don't? Because even if they do a good job, it's not going to change anybody's life. They feel that way about their occupation. It has no lasting value. There's no guarantee that it's going to make any major impact on the world. But I'll tell you this, folks. If you will pour your life and your energy into the church, you too will be a part of the winning team. You too will be a part of what God calls his bride and calls to be his very own. Because Jesus also said, I'll build my church. And then what does he say right after that? And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Amen? Now, look, specifically, this word is right and is rightly translated Hades and not hell. Hades is the Jewish understanding for death. That is the direct equivalent for us, death. Death will not stand in the way of my church. What he's saying is, I know that the church is going to last from generation to generation, and it's going to require people to tell the next generation, and that's what I'm putting together, and that's what I'm going to do, is use the people who come to me and build a church so that the people who come after them will have a place, and they will know me, and they'll know of me, and in that way, my word will get expanded down through the ages. Amen? Look, we are here today because somebody done that before us. And folks, these young people who sat right now here are going to have a church to go to and a gathering together with because we have come together as this church. Amen. Well, can we give the Lord a hand because he's called us to be a part of it. Oh, my. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. You see, that is, you realize that that is the greatest weapon that Satan has for us. Satan used that weapon on Jesus. He said, you know, if I can kill the builder of the church, then I'll strangle the church before it ever begins. But Jesus couldn't stay dead. You can't kill him. He is alive. Praise God. He's alive today. Amen. And we serve a living Savior. Living Lord. And he is about the process of building his church. Folks, we have people who have recently professed their faith in Jesus Christ as a part of this church. Not because of work that we have done, but because of the work the Holy Spirit has done in blessing us with those people who have come to us and say, I believe in the Lord, and he's called me to be here. It's not about us. It's about him. We need to give him the glory and the praise and the honor for it. He's building his church. And isn't it great to know that I am a part of what is going to last forever? I'm not by myself. You're all by him. Amen. We are a part together of God's church that he's building. And it's going to last forever. And I'm going to make sure it's his church. Not my church. That's important why when people ask me where I go to church or Where's my church? I tell them, when I go, I attend, I'm the pastor at Fort Creek Methodist Church. Because it's not my church. But don't think old Satan's going to give up. Ever since there's been a church, he has been on the prowl looking for who he can devour. And throughout the history of the church, he has endeavored to wipe the church out. He has slaughtered and killed people who have professed faith in Jesus Christ ever since there's been a church, and he's still doing it today. We don't see it so much here in the United States, but people are dying as martyrs today. Every day, people die as martyrs. People who believe and will not recant their belief. And they're dying for the cause of Jesus Christ. The most powerful weapon Satan has is death against us. He distracts us with it, but he can never use it against the church who knows a living Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Any student of church history will tell you that it's the blood of the martyrs that inspires the church, that gives the church purpose and reason, and that calls the church together to support each other and lift each other up through those difficult times. And if I'm called to die for my faith, then praise God. Because Jesus says in John 6, I will raise them up on the last day. Now, folks, he says, everybody who comes to me, I will hold, and everybody I hold will be raised up on the last day. My friends, the church is going to be victorious. And I'm a part of something that's eternal. I am a part of something that God is building. Since it's eternal, I'm going to pour my life into the church. Make it my being. It is no match for Satan. He can't come close to us. He may hurt our bodies. He may discourage us from time to time. But the power of Almighty God in our presence with each other, as we encourage each other, as we love on each other, as we build each other up, causes us to be able to overcome any attack that he can bring. Amen. Are you standing strong, church, in your faith and in your belief that Jesus will overcome? He wins in the end. The third reason that I love the church is because it is the most precious. The most precious thing that there is on the earth. And so how do I know that? Because I read Acts chapter 20. And I looked at verse 28 where it said, be on guard for yourselves. Now, they're talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus here. And it says, be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Listen now, listen to this. It says, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own son. That's what God has paid for this church. He has bought us, and he has bought us our ability to be his and to be with his through the blood of his own son. Folks, there's nothing more precious on this whole earth than the church that Jesus Christ said, I'm going to build, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Can I get an amen? How precious is his church to him? And therefore, if it is that precious to the creator of all things, it is the most precious thing. Nothing else has he paid such a price for. Nothing else has he suffered for. Peter tells us that we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but the precious blood of the Lamb, spotless and without blemish. And Paul tells us God has paid the infinite price. In 1 Corinthians 6, he says, what? Do you not understand that your body is a temple to the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Can I get an amen, church? You see, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be glorifying God in our bodies, and we learn how to do that when we come together as his church. We get instruction. We get leading guidance. Jesus himself knew the price that he would be paying. And he felt it. As he knelt in the garden that night with the disciples falling asleep, he said, Father, please let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but But God, how many times have we come to the Lord and we say, oh God, I want this. Oh God, give me that. God, grant me this. How many times do we say, yet not my will, but God. And completely submit our request to His will. See, that's what the church teaches us. Otherwise, we would just go to God and say, okay, well, here's the candy machine. Let me see what I want today. And that's not God at all. But God is the God that we're supposed to be able to trust. Not only be able to, but as we go through the process and trust Him and be His. And that means trusting Him with the outcome of anything we would bring before. Can you imagine what Jesus went through as He shed His blood for us? As the life was crushed out of Him by the weight of all the sin of the world being put on Him. Can you imagine the agony, the loneliness that He went through for us, for the church? I love the church. I love the church because Christ loved the church. And He loved it enough to give His blood for it. And I don't like it when people speak against it or talk bad about it. Because it's the greatest thing I have ever known in my life. It's His church and Him in it. It's the only institution that Jesus ever built. The only one that He promised to bless. And it's the winner. The church is the winner. All other institutions and associations will end, but the church triumphant will occupy the glories of heaven forever. And the price was inestimable. That's how precious the church is. The fourth reason that I love the church is, I love it because it is the earthly expression of the heavenly King. The church is the earthly expression of the heavenly King. It's the closest thing to heaven, folks, that we're ever going to come this side of heaven itself. Do you remember back in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus told His disciples and all who would hear that whole sermon, He said, then when you pray, this is how you should do it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. But where? Other than His church, is His will going to be done anymore? When He has built the church, and He has blessed the church, and He has bled for the church, if He's called the church together and given it purpose, if He is in the church with us, where else are we going to find His kingdom come and His will be done? Any other place on earth except right here in His church. Amen? You see, what we're supposed to be doing is learning how we cause His will to be done by the way we live our lives and act and work with each other. We're supposed to be His church by learning how He has got the plans for us and submitting to those plans. We learn how to be the church, and we are His church, but we submit to His love and His grace and His charity. And we have become recipients of all of those things. And we then participate in those things by passing them forward, by encouraging each other, by putting our arms around somebody and saying to them, okay, you got a drug problem, or you got a gambling problem, or a drinking problem, or a money problem, or whatever the problem is. I'm going to be here with you. And I'm going to love you even though this thing. And I'm going to tell you that you're not defined by this thing, but that you are loved of God. And when folks come to the church, that's the kind of feeling they need to get. That's the kind of acceptance they need to get. Too many times people have come to the church and felt people sneering or heard people sneering at them. That's all they have to wear to church. Women, that's more you than men. The men ain't bold enough to say it. Okay? But we know that happens. We would judge somebody as they come to the house of the Lord, when every single one of us need to be judged. And we need to understand that we're not here because of our purity, but because of his blood. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, I love the church for what it could be, for what he's designed it to be, for the way he's designed it to be. Nobody else. There's no way that this thing could have ever been designed by human beings. Oh, my. Let me catch up a while here. I want to live in the church. I want to be a part of the church. I want to be there every time the doors crack open, because this is my place. And I don't want to be a sometime visitor. I want to be a part, an integral part of what's going on. I want to be there when the church is called to heaven. And I don't just want to visit heaven. I want to be all in. I want to be no doubt that I'm there. I want to go and stay. I want to live in the kingdom. And that's why I love the church. You say, well, the church isn't all that, brother. But it can be. And the thing is, it's up to us to see that it is. God's called you and me together in this place. And he's given us the challenge to make the church what it could be. And I want to give my life to make it as close to heaven as I can. But there's one other reason that I love the church. Not only because it's the institution, the only institution that Jesus ever built and promised to bless, and it's because the church is the winner in the end. It's because the church is the most precious thing that there ever has been on earth, and it is the earthly expression of our heavenly King. But folks, it's the place of worship. I know in Philippians 3:3, it tells us that we worship in spirit, and therefore it can be done anytime, anywhere, and it should be. But there also is a calling in Hebrews chapter 10 that tells us, do not forget the assembling together of yourselves. We are called to come together. But we are called also to pray continually. That means sometimes by ourselves, we're praying to the Lord, submitting to the Lord. But it is the regular gathering of his people, the regular gathering of his church, where we find him most active and where we are inspired more often than not to become closer, drawn to him, to be his children, to give up whatever it takes so that we can be his children, and not just in name, but in reality. He calls us and he blesses us. Whenever I am with the church and in the church, I'm lifted out of myself. I'm joining with others, and I'm not in this alone. I know that there's others with me on this path, and it is encouraging and uplifting. There's some kind of a corporate dynamic that happens when we come together and we bring praise together. I wish you all could have been with us worship on Friday night when we gathered together. The Wilmington Celebration Choir was there, and they started it off with a few songs, and then we had a pastor from a mega church in Houston, Texas, come and address us. A much smaller gathering than he's used to with a church of over 10,000. But boy, did we worship. We came together, regardless of what the circumstances were, and we worshiped. You're not going to find things like that worshiping alone. There's just no dynamic. But folks, I come in here, and in this very same space, I record often for the radio. And sometimes when I'm editing, it just seems so flat because there's nobody here but me. You bring the Lord in with you. You bring the worship in with you. You are the dynamic that makes the church work. And I need that. I need to be together with other people. I need to know that things I read and conclude are not just some self-serving understanding that I have for myself. I need to be in the Word of God with somebody beside me who knows me, who will hold me accountable to live in the ways that I have professed my right. Someone who will speak wise counsel into my ear, even when it's not easy to do. Someone who loves me enough to speak up and say, wait a minute, Brian. You need to look at things this way. That's valuable. Folks, when you love somebody enough, you will do that. Look, I see some people coming. I asked somebody this morning when I come in and fix my stove. It was all messed up. It turned around backwards in the car ride over here. So, all right. Look, I trusted them. I knew when I walked in the door, I was going to need that. I said, whoever's in the door, I want you to ask them. Because I knew that whoever was in the door in this place, I could trust them to fix it next time. I won't worry about it. How many times you see people who forgot to comb their hair in the morning? See what happens. How many times you see people who didn't realize their collar went right or something? And I wonder sometimes when I say, did nobody love them enough to fix that for them before they come out public? But now, folks, that's just clothing. In church, we're fixing more than collars and stoles and straightening ties. Fixing life. We're fixing life eternal. And God has given us a sacred calling to be His church, to help fix life, to care enough about other people, to love people enough, to take that uncomfortable step to help fix their life. Folks, I want to tell you, I've got a long way to go. I need some people to come along beside me and give me some instruction. Because, look, if I just go along like I am, I will have missed what God has for me, because I know that He wants me to continue to grow and learn. And I know that He wants that for you too. And that's why I'm thankful every Sunday for whoever will show up here and whoever will come together to be His church and get His instruction. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some people say, I don't go to church. I buy a tape from John MacArthur or Chuck Swindoll, or I look online and I see them, and that does just fine for me. Well, let me tell you, you don't even know what God has got in store for you, and you don't even know what God's doing in the church because you're not a part of it. You can listen to all the sermons you want to listen to on the radio or TV, and that's great. I do it. Let me tell you, I probably listen to a half a dozen sermons a week. I need it. I mean, that's how much I need it, because I have to have the regular input in my life to keep me on track. I'm a rebellious soul. You know, Jesus talked about the Jews having stiff necks. Oh, yeah, I got one. And I need that regular input. But look, that doesn't match. None of that matches the presence of the church in my life. I need it. I'm encouraged by, built up by, uplifted by. And that means you. I'm uplifted by you. I could never be the person that I am today without you in my life, without being with you, even before you. See, accountability comes with relationship. And when we gather corporately, we enter relationship with each other. That's why I invite you men to come and be a part of the Methodist men. We have a time at each Methodist men where we just share. What's difficult in my life? What's going on great in my life? And we pray for each other and with each other. You're accountable to live this thing that God has called us to. And we need to be held accountable to it. It's a place for worship and a place for edification and learning. A place where we come together to be taught. Yes, I'm skipping this whole section because I want to get to the most important. The church is the only institution that Jesus ever built and promised to bless. It's the winner in the end. It's the most precious thing on earth. And it's the earthly expression of the heavenly King. It's also the place for us to worship. The place for us to worship. There's one more reason that I want to share with you this morning. The church is the people who God calls together. The church is not a building. This building sitting empty by itself is just a wooden structure. I praise God that it's here. I think it's beautiful. But if it were gone tomorrow, the church would not be gone. Can I get an amen? If this church were damaged beyond repair, for whatever reason, the church would still be here. Amen? Because the church is you. And you bring with it, you bring when you come together, I don't care if it's through your doors or out in this yard or wherever we happen to gather, you bring God's love. You bring God's teaching. You bring God's compassion. You bring God with you. And when you do, we come together. There the church is. There is where God blesses. There is where God teaches and opens his word and gives us understanding. Now, folks, I have come to this place only 4.5 years ago, not quite 4.5. And when I came here, I began a journey to get to know the people, to love the people here, and I found it very easy because you have loved me so greatly. And when I came here, I found honesty and integrity in the people. I found love and affection. I found people who truly care for each other, and not only the people each other who come and sit on these pews, but the people around this whole area that they desire to share God's love with. And people who love the Lord in this place. People who encourage one another, who forgive the slights of life and look beyond them. These people, you people, create space where others can gather, where we together can gather and learn and grow. A place where we are free to be who we are and to put things right out on the table, knowing that we will be loved through it. But that's not an easy place. And we have to conscientiously decide that I am going to be a part of this place. I'm going to be a part of that place that God has shown me how he does for me, and I'm going to do it for him. Folks, that's what the church, that's the church that God's building. That's the church I want to be a part of. Church I find right here. Praise God. He has gathered us. He is building. He is working in our lives. You see, we're in a place where mistakes can be mended and joys can be celebrated. Together, I love the church because it is you. You are the church. And I am the church with you. Together, we are God's church. Jesus isn't interested in building edifices. You see, he built people. And he gathers people to be his church. And I thank God that he's put me here in the midst of this gathering. His church, his people. Folks, I hope you catch my passion this morning for the church, and I hope that you too love the church as I do. Jesus loved it enough to give his very blood for it. Amen. Amen.